There are so many different reasons that you might want to bring new friendships into your life. Maybe your friends are moving away. Maybe you feel like you've lost friends throughout your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, and you want to replenish those friendships. Maybe you've grown apart from your old friends. Maybe you just want a little bit more happiness, joy, and love in your life. In this podcast episode, I really want to go deep into how to enter your community era. We're not going to church anymore. Some of us are, props to you, but a lot of us aren't, which was a big and easy way to meet new people back in the day. Some of us maybe haven't gone to university. I never went to university, so I didn't make any uni friends. A lot of us are working from home. And with all of that, like, where are we supposed to meet people, right? I just want to be so clear that this is a very normal struggle that so many people go through. And a lot of it, in my opinion, is about how our society is structured nowadays. Because it's certainly not structured to foster community and to foster friendships. In this podcast, we're going to go deep on how to enter your community era, how to make new friends, red flags to look out for when you are in your friendship making journey, mindsets that you should embrace as you enter your community era. And it's all coming from someone who has been in their community era for the past probably like 6 months. I've been meeting so many new people. I've been hanging out with new people. I feel like I have a handful of lovely new friendships that are flourishing in my life, and I feel so lucky for it. But also, it wasn't luck. It was a lot of intentional effort. So let's dive into it. How to make new friends and enter your community era. So the thing about making new friends is that the one key ingredient that you need if you want to bring new friendships into your life is new people. I've heard this said about the dating game before, and I do hate saying it about friendships, but essentially friendship making is a little bit of a numbers game. If you're not putting yourself in situations where you're meeting a reasonable quantity of new people, it's gonna feel harder to make friends as an adult. So think about when you were younger, and you would make friends at your high school or your university. Think about how many people you had access to in those institutions. And you didn't get along or become deep friends with majority of them, right? For most people, you know, you found your select few that you vibed with and you kind of stuck with them. And there were a good chunk of people that maybe you liked or felt neutral about, but you didn't really want to hang out with it on an ongoing basis. So as awful as it sounds, in a way, friendship making as an adult can be a little bit of a numbers game. And when I say numbers game, I just mean you just need to put yourself in front of as many new faces as possible so that you're more likely to stumble into people that you really vibe with. The other thing I want to be super clear on before we get into the tactics of how to meet more people is that entering your community era and growing your friendship circle, it's something that you need to put time, energy, and effort into. And I know when I first was like, you know, I should probably start making new friends in my 20s, I didn't really treat it like a goal. And I almost expected that friendships should just show up for me. And that it shouldn't be effortful. It shouldn't be this intentional work. But in a way, that is what it is, at least at the beginning. When you are putting yourself out there, sometimes you're not going to feel like doing it. Sometimes you'll go to meet up with a new person, you'll be like, oh God, like this is the last thing I feel like doing. It's a lot like what I imagine dating to be like. I've been in a relationship for like 10 years, so it's a little hard to comment. Dating seems like intentional effort and it seems like a little bit of work. Expect the same thing from friendship making in your 20s. Simply because the structures don't exist to make it super organic and super easy. So let's talk about how to actually find these new people to meet. So to kick off, obviously, Bumble BFF. If you haven't heard of Bumble BFF, it's just like Bumble, but it's for friends. I have met two incredible, super sweet girls through Bumble BFF. I have talked about Bumble BFF to a few people. And what I will say is that it comes with a little bit of a stigma. I remember someone actually being like, wow, that's so like brave of you. Because there's definitely like a stigma to that. And I was like, I've never even thought about it. And you know how on TikTok, a lot of people talk about that thing of like, don't be afraid to be seen trying. That's the energy you need to tap into when you hop onto Bumble BFF. But realize that everyone else on that platform is also trying. You're all on the same wavelength. Some people are there because they are new to your city. Some people are there because they want to expand their friendships. But everyone on there is trying to foster new connections. You being there is not weird. It is okay to be trying to make new friendships. The second avenue that is really big where I live, I don't know what the situation is around the world, but that is Facebook groups. The girlies are on the Facebook groups. So where I live, there's a Facebook group called Make New Friends Women on the Gold Coast, something like that. It has like 10K plus members. This is not a group with like 100 girls in it. People are out there looking for new friends. You just want to find those people. And that's the thing when you are going down these avenues. It is possible to make new friends, you know, randomly out and about, but it's a lot easier to just find avenues where you can find other people who are also keen to put effort and time into building new friendships. The next avenue, meetups. Danielle Bayard Jackson, who is a friendship coach and is incredible, talks about doing this activity with yourself where you write down a list of words that describe you. To be fair, you want to go for kind of superficial words. So for me, I'd write down YouTuber, fantasy book reader, self-development girly. You might write down mom, cyclist, whatever. And then for each of those descriptive terms, you want to look for the community that exists behind those terms. And if community doesn't exist, consider creating a community. So for example, I have joined a book club because I am a big reader. Anyone that's followed me for a long time knows that I love to read. And my book club is so fun. I'm not going to lie, I haven't made any like long-term friends in my book club, but it's given me this beautiful sense of community that just makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. And it's also a slow burn, right? You meet once a month. It's going to take time to build friendships. So look for these communities. They're on meetup.com. A lot of them are actually on Facebook where I live. Bumble BFF even has like a little events section. These things are out there, and honestly, they're popping up more and more each month. I feel like post-COVID, we're particularly in the era of community groups. It's like everyone lost their community during COVID, and we've bounced back from the cancel on plans era, the hermit and isolate era, and everyone's just seeking community and creating all of these little community groups. Where I live, they're popping up all the time. I met the lovely Sherry, who lives on the Gold Coast, and she runs the Conscious Connection groups, where it's literally little groups of people that she gets together to specifically make new friends. She does friendship picnics. These little events, they exist. The one thing that I do want to say with all of these avenues that I'm talking about is don't expect your dream friendships to be their first go. You might go to one event from one Facebook group and meet the platonic love of your life. However, you also might not, and that's okay. Once again, I want a better way to say it's a numbers game, but like it is a numbers game. You want to expose yourself to as many new faces. That should be your goal. Not necessarily making new friends, just like how many new people can I meet? Keep on going to these events. Keep on meeting up with new people. You will find the people that you vibe with. The second thing that I want to talk about when it comes to entering your community or making new friends is what areas do you maybe need to work on in yourself to bring in these dreamy new friendships that you want in your life? Erin Henry is this creator that lives in Melbourne. She's actually a business coach, but she talks about this concept of becoming the coolest person you know. And I really do think that when you focus a little bit more on becoming the kind of person that you would want to be friends with, it's going to be a lot easier for you to attract and make new friends. An exercise that I like to do around this is a future self map, where you basically just write out a list of traits that you want to develop and embody. So in your friendships, maybe in the past you haven't been the best communicator. I know I've been guilty of that. Write down on your future self map, list it, and then list what an excellent communicator would do in their friendships, how they would show up in their life. What are little micro behaviors that a good communicator does? Like, sure, a good communicator sets boundaries, but what's a specific boundary that you could set in your life that would make you a better communicator? What are specific scenarios that come up that you could use to practice being a better communicator? Don't get me wrong, this isn't me saying that you need to better yourself in order to attract new friends. However, if you can look into your history and see ways and patterns that exist where you maybe haven't been the best friend and you want to show up as a better friend, use this opportunity. I know one girl that I've become good friends with. I won't drop her name. She might listen to this podcast. She's lovely. And she was telling me how before I met her, she was actually a really bad texter. Like, she'd be shocking for just not texting people back. And then she was like, but I knew like if I was going out and intentionally like pursuing friendships, that was something that I needed to improve on and work on, because it's going to be hard to make intentional new friendships as an adult if you can't text people back. Things like that are little things that you can work on and focus on throughout your friendship journey. Now let's talk about should energy and how it's gonna mess up your friendship journey. This is something I actually dive deep on in the Life Map, which is my goal setting workbook. I think should energy is the enemy of achieving all of your goals. And specifically when it comes to friendship making, if you are holding on to should energy, you are self-sabotaging. I am in a lot of bridal groups because I'm getting married next year. If you've ever been in any bridal group, you know that it's a wild time. And something that you actually see frequently are brides who post and they're like, hey, like I'm getting married in a year, 2 years, and I've realized that I actually don't have anyone to make my bridesmaid. I'm realizing throughout this process, I don't have that many friends. And then they'll be like, so I need to do some friendship building ASAP because I should have friends and it's embarrassing for me not to have friends and it's embarrassing for me not to have 10 bridesmaids up there with me. And it's clear from these posts that the person posting them feels like they're less than because they don't have friendships. And that's the energy that's driving them to seek out new friendships. It's coming from a place of, I should have friends. And should energy is desperate energy, and desperate energy doesn't attract friendships or relationships. Which brings me to shaping your friendship story. Danielle Jackson, who I've name dropped twice in this episode, you should go check her out if you're on a friendship journey. But she talks about this idea that women who have a lot of friends, a lot of people see that as quite high agency. And so admitting like, oh, I'm trying to make more friends, or I feel like I don't quite have enough friends, it can feel a little cringy. But your friendship story shouldn't actually come from that angle at all. You're looking at it all wrong. You could definitely come at your friendship story from an angle of, I don't have enough friends, I need more friends. Obviously, that's not a helpful angle to come at your friendship story from. The better angle to come at it from is, I'm widening my circle. I have so much love to give and I want more people to give it to. My go-to line when I'm talking to other people is just, I'm in my community era. I'm building my community out. You want to come from a friendship story that feels abundant, that feels energizing, that feels empowering, right? That doesn't paint you as someone who's just desperate to make more friends. It paints you as someone who's like doing things to create a better, more love-filled life for yourself, to share more love around. And once again, going back to that thread of people that do feel a little bit funny about sharing that they're making new friendships, I have never had one single person judge me when I've been like, I'm in my friendship era. Say it with confidence. And no one bats an eyelid. They're like, cool, like, good on you. It goes back to that stereotypical quote of, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. There's just not a chance in the world I'd ever judge someone for trying to create new relationships in their life. And we shouldn't entertain people like that. Now I want to talk about some friendship beige flags to avoid as you move through your community era. So I've been on quite a few little friendship dates. Every single person that I have hung out with has been absolutely lovely, very likable. I have also seen a few things that I would describe as beige flags, and I want to put them out there so that you can consider them mindfully and decide whether these are beige flags for you. Because to you, you might be like, no, actually, I want to hang that flag out there. But to me, when I came across these, it made me think twice and go, does it mean that person is not a good, wonderful, amazing person? But it did just make me think, So friendship beige flag number one, mentioning that you've just gotten out of a relationship. This is such a weird one, I know, because usually it applies to romantic relationships. However, if you hop on Bumble BFF or one of the Facebook groups, you are going to see a post or 100 posts from girls who are like, I just got out of my 6-year-long relationship and realized that I have no friends. Everyone's had that friend that is boy crazy, and as soon as they get a partner, they just disappear on you. They're just not a super reliable friend. And when you're like putting yourself out there, putting an effort to meet new people, generally, that's just not the kind of person that you would want to prioritize, unless you are like that yourself. If that is the case for you, you have just gotten out of a 6-year relationship and you are in an era where you're like, actually, like, I need to prioritize my female friendships. I'm taking this seriously. Just say, I'm in an era where I'm prioritizing female friendships. Beige flag number two, going too deep too soon. This is really easy for a lot of people to slip into if you're neurodivergent. I know the oversharing feels so easy to do, and it feels like a way to build a relationship. And it is, in a way, like vulnerability is a form of connection. But for me personally, if someone talks about their trauma or if it gets just too serious too quickly, I feel a bit uncomfortable, mainly because I can't actually match energy. I can react appropriately, but I am in a bit of an era where I share a little less and that feels more comfortable for me. And I can't match that energy until I feel like I have a lot of trust in a person. So look, this might be personal preference. I'm using a lot of I's, but I think in general, some people do just feel uncomfortable when you go a little too deep too soon. So maybe just if you find yourself oversharing, check in and be like, what's your comfort level here? Or notice whether the person is matching your energy. Are they oversharing back and do they seem energized by the conversation? If not, maybe back off a little. The next page flag is an interesting one. I've actually come across it more than once, and that is mentioning your friendship tensions or breakups. And this is so tough because friendship breakups are really hard. The grief that you experience over friendship breakups, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, and it makes sense to want to talk about it. But if I meet a new person and the first time I meet them, they're talking about their friendship breakup, how difficult and, you know, not great their past friendships have been, I immediately assume this person probably isn't really over that friendship breakup. They haven't moved through it. And also sometimes when you share your grievances and the entire time you are the victim in the story, you're not reflecting out loud on the things that you could have done wrong or things you could have done differently in that friendship grievance, it's easy to assume that you might be more difficult to be friends with. And obviously there are exceptions. There are some circumstances with friendship breakups where the other person truly was the villain. But in most circumstances, in almost every breakup, both parties contribute. And there are always things that you can own. But if I'm hearing someone talk about their grievance and they're really just shitting on the other person and villainizing the other person, it is easy to make the assumption that maybe they haven't learned from it or grown from it or owned any part of it. If for some reason it comes up on a friendship date, it's okay to talk about your friendship breakup, but just don't villainize the other person. Own your part in it if that is necessary, and then move past it. I would just say in general, don't talk badly about other people if you go on friendship dates. If I hear someone talking really badly about people, immediately it's like a turn off, whether it's a past friend or a current friend. The next beige flag, unbalanced conversations. This is just basic etiquette. Keep an eye out on how much you're talking versus how much the other person is talking. Ask the other person questions. If you meet up with someone more than once, ask them follow-up questions like, how's your partner? How's your dog? If you're always dominating the conversation, even if it's because you're excited or maybe you're a little nervous, it can make another person feel like you don't really care about what they have to say. And I have to be for real right now because I have a tendency to talk a lot if I am excited and if I'm comfortable in someone's presence. And if you are also a little bit like that, like you're a little interrupty, you get excited, you love a little chit chat, either you have to learn to intentionally stop yourself, hate to say it, sort of constantly checking in to make sure that the other person is talking, or alternatively, if you have a bit of the adhada, which a lot of interrupty, excited people tend to, surround yourself with other people who have adhada, because those people also love to talk and they will also interrupt, and you can have a full bounce back and forth conversation and you'll bop around and it'll be fine and no one will be offended. But you will have to like selectively find the people that are aligned with you and on the same level as you when it comes to conversation style, because that truly is a conversation style and I love it. I love a boppy, interrupty, like everyone's so excited and has stuff to say conversation, but not everyone does. And you've got to keep that in mind. And the last beige flag is no drama or bitchiness. I see this sometimes in Bumble BFF profiles immediately when someone says no drama. I make the assumption that they are a dramatic person. I don't know if that is valid and I don't know where it comes from, but I would just never put no drama in my profile because drama is just not a normal everyday part of my life. And so if someone has that in their profile, I'm like, are they a part of the drama? Are they attracting that drama? That's probably a personal preference thing. So the next thing that I want to talk about is rejection and rejecting. And this is coming from a girl who is very rejection sensitive or has a history of being deeply rejection sensitive. If I can smell a rejection, my feelings are hurt. I've made so much progress in this area, and I truly think my friendship-making journey has been a big part of that, because two things that make up a friendship journey are rejecting and rejection. They are naturally going to be a part of your journey. And I have one practice that particularly has helped me with this. And here's what it is. The next time that you go to work, maybe you go visit your local coffee shop, you go in an environment where you see a person that you kind of know, that you kind of like or you're neutral about, but you'd never really want to be friends with, mentally reject them. Don't make this a habit. Just do it a few times so that you can get the feel of it. And the key to this is not just mentally rejecting them. That's not really going to help you. But on top of that, you want to mentally reject them and acknowledge that they are a good, kind, friendly, worthy person. Remind yourself that this person has solid friends that love them, and you don't want to be one of those solid friends. Notice all of their good traits. Notice how they are an acceptable and wonderful even human being. And notice that you still don't want to be their friend. And this might be a little woo for some people, but another thing that I do when I have done this practice is notice how deeply meaningless your opinion of this person is. How deeply meaningless it is that you don't particularly want to be friends with them. Notice how it is not written anywhere that this person isn't acceptable and worthy of deep, loving friendships. Notice how you can have a good opinion of someone and still not want to be friends with them. For some reason, that particular activity has helped me so much with my rejection sensitivity. I'm still rejection sensitive. However, when it comes to like little minor rejections, I'm in a far better place. And even when I do get that big sting of rejection, I am able to emotionally regulate with more ease because of this practice. The other thing that I want to talk about when it comes to rejection is that cheesy quote of rejection is protection. It's true. Imagine if you met someone and you really liked this person and you wanted to hang out with them more, you wanted to be close friends with them, and they kept on hanging out with you week after week, and then you found out that that person was hanging out with you out of pity, that that person actually liked all their other friends way more than you. You were very low on the rankings. You were their like desperate phone call when they just needed company. They were just hanging out with you because they felt like they had to. That is a huge waste of your time, your energy, and your love. You deserve to have friends that cherish you. You deserve to have friends that are excited to hang out with you. You deserve to have friends that want to give you quality time. You deserve to have friends that want to make plans with you, who want to brag about you behind your back. If you have someone on your journey that doesn't seem to want to be friends with you, that rejects you in some way, shape, or form, it is a blessing. They are doing you a favor. And also flip this around and realize that when you reject other people, you are doing them a favor. Even if it doesn't feel like it at the time, even if it feels horrible to reject another human being, you're doing them a favor in the long run. Everyone is different, and whenever I talk to anyone about this, they have a different opinion, which is why it's really hard to get right. Some people really want a rejection text. They want you to be clear and firm and say, hey, I don't want to hang out with you anymore because of ABC. Some people don't want that. I have to admit, I probably sit in the camp of I don't want that. Not for long-term friendships, of course, but for short-term friendships. I am not opposed to a slow fade. And for most people, they can pick up the hints of a slow fade, right? If you don't text them back for a few days, or you just don't text them back at all, or you don't really respond when they ask to hang out, like most people can pick up your clues and they can make their own assumptions. And in a way, I think it's a little bit of a gift to not give people your reasons for not wanting to see them again. They can conclude that you're just a little bit flaky. Or you're just not really at a stage where you are ready to put effort into making new friendships, or you're time poor and you're busy. And those blanks that they fill in themselves are probably healthier than you being like, I don't want to be your friend because of A, B, and C. And the thing with any kind of rejection is that it's all subjective, right? Like when you tell someone, hey, like, I don't want to be your friend because like you're too high energy, that's your opinion. It's not objective fact. Some other people might love that that person is high energy. I don't see it as your job or your responsibility, but everyone does differ and you may want to do that. Obviously, what I'm saying does not apply to long-term friendships. If you have a long-term friendship and you want to go for a friendship breakup situation, don't do a slow fade. You're going to confuse everyone. It's going to cause a shit show. Now I want to talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. And this is a question that I don't actually know that anyone would have, but it is something that I struggled with on my friendship journey. So I'm just going to throw it out there for the select few. For me personally, I take a while to attach to people. I am not one of those people that meets people, immediately loves them, and wants to see them all the time. I can meet someone, think that they're cool, have a good time, and be content to never see them again. I also am a slow burn person. It takes me a while to warm up to people. And so I actually found it really hard to be like, well, when do I go on like a second friendship date with someone? And here's my formal measurement system that I'm going to share with you as to whether you should go on a little second friendship date with someone. There are two factors that you'll be measuring: vibes and giggles. Giggles and vibes. That is all I want in my friendships. Obviously, other things you could add into there would be values. Values are important, and also ways of spending your time. So if I tried to make friends with someone who spent every single weekend staying up till 4 a.m. at the club, and then sleeping all day, it just would be a hard friendship to maintain just because we're not on the same wavelength and we wouldn't be able to spend any time together. Instead, you're better off finding people that spend their time in the same ways as you. Common interests are a thing in friendships. For me personally, they're not top priority. I like having friends with diverse interests. But everyone's different, and you might want to find someone who is specifically interested in crafts or someone who's specifically entrepreneurial. Once again, though, I like to go back to my trusty rating system of vibes and giggles. If there are vibes and there are giggles, I want to see someone again. The last thing that I want to talk about in this mega episode is deepening friendships. I am only a few months really into my friendship journey, and I am one of the most impatient people you will ever meet. Luke can affirm this. And the problem with impatience and friendships is that friendships take a long time to build. It's awkward the first few times that you hang out with a new person. Like, there are little awkward moments that you have to get past. It takes between 40 and 60 hours to form a casual friendship, 80 to 100 hours to transition to being a proper friend, and more than 200 hours to become good friends. And that is a lot of time to spend together with a brand new person. And when you're an adult, you're spending that time together in like quick little intervals, which makes it even more difficult because everyone's busy. I have a really close friend, Allie, who is coincidentally my longest friend. We've been friends since literally kindergarten, and she always says, quantity over quality, baby. The more consistent quantity you put into a friendship, and that can be just like you two sitting at a couch, eating popcorn, watching a movie, the more you build that friendship. To deepen your friendship, something that I have found helpful is context switching. Like, yeah, go for coffee, but also like go to a little clay making class together. Go on a drive somewhere. Go to the beach together. Go grocery shopping together. Go to the movies together. You know, like switch it up. And also, if you can, if you're making friends with someone who has spare time on their hands, try to extend your friendship dates. Like, go to coffee together and then be like, hey, like, come join me while I go shop for this, that, and the other. Personally, I love a little errand date. Obviously, not everyone is that way inclined, but just try to get that quantity in. Sadly, there is no hack for forming super deep friendships super quickly, other than like being vulnerable, spending time together. I wish I had a hack to give you, but it is a lengthy process. Especially if you're like me and you're someone who is slow to warm up and a slow burn kind of person, you are simply just gonna have to put in the time. Now it's time for the recs of the week. Every episode, I like to give at least three recommendations for those of you who want to dive a little deeper into today's topic. The first obvious recommendation that was kind of scattered throughout this whole podcast was Danielle Bayard Jackson. You can look up her podcast, Friend Forward, on Spotify or anywhere else where you listen to your podcasts. She has content all about how to make new friendships, how to find new friends, but also how to be a better friend. I highly recommend all of her work. It's all very evidence-based as well. She does a lot of research for her podcast, and you can tell. The second recommendation is actually another podcast episode on Grow with Intention, the interview that I did with Fred Luskin. So if you are someone who is like, yep, I've struggled with friendship resentments, or maybe you have friendship breakups that you haven't really grieved and let go of, before you go out and start your friendship making journey, consider listening to that podcast episode. For those of you who struggle with the idea of going on little Bumble BFF dates or going to new events, maybe that makes you anxious. You're a little socially uncomfortable with that. The book Dating Without Fear is so good. It's definitely not for you, right? Like, it's designed for people who have dating anxiety, which is like a segment of social anxiety. But in saying that, everything in that book will apply to you. And now we're wrapping up the app with mini moves. Some little immediate actionable things that you can do to take what you've learned in this podcast and actually implement it into your life, because that's what this stuff is all about. Mini move number one, sign up for Bumble BFF. Don't overthink it. Write your profile and give yourself like 10 minutes max to write it. Upload your cute little pictures that you've already put on Instagram. Make it happen. Mini move number two, look for Facebook groups in your area that are all about meeting new people and making new friends. You're gonna have them. Whether it's on Facebook or I think there's like a Nextdoor app that people in the US use. We all have our different apps, but one of them has groups. Look for the friend-making groups. And mini move number three, this is a little bonus mini move. I usually do two. Write a list of words that describe you, like I talked about in this episode. So, mum, crafty person. We're talking kind of superficial words. And then look for any social groups that exist around those words. Join them. Sign up to attend the next event that they're holding. If you liked this episode and you like my content in general, you're going to love the Intention app. It's all about managing your mind to create a life that feels good. I'm talking feels good, not just looks good. Feels really freaking good. The link to download the Intention app is going to be in the podcast show notes. There's a free version. There's also a subscription version if you want a lot more premium content. I appreciate you so much, and you'll hear from me soon.